Appreciate the prayer, and ask your continued interest in your prayers. I appreciate Brother Jim mentioning Elder Thomas Bond. Some of you may not know, he was scheduled for surgery this week, but got a call from the doctor. They're referring him to UAB so that someone who is more experienced in what he needs can take a look at his case and hopefully provide a better level of care. So he's waiting for a phone call, so we still don't know when the surgery might be, but please remember him and Sister Elaine. And I appreciate, again, Brother Jim mentioning that in his prayer. It's good to be here this morning. We ask an interest in your prayers as we enter our subject. I have a very practical subject on my mind this morning, and I've turned to Galatians chapter 6 to begin with. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, I just want to, by way of introduction, I want to read verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit led Paul, as he's closing out this letter, to give some very practical lessons. There were some doctrinal issues among the churches in Galatia, and Paul was dealing with that, but he comes down to this, and he teaches some very, very powerful and very needful practical lessons that we all need. They needed it then, we need it now. Okay? Paul had been saying, he gave us the works of the flesh, then he gave us the fruit of the Spirit, and he said, and they that are Christ's, I'm back in chapter 5 now, verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, for those who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we are to walk in the kingdom of God. We're to press into the kingdom of God. We're to separate ourselves from the works of darkness, from all those things that we did before we came to a knowledge of the truth. So he says, we crucify the flesh with the affections and lust. There's things that we need to put away from our former life till we might serve the Lord. Now, the reason that we have to be exhorted to do that is because we still have this old flesh about us. We still have those desires that would pull us back into our old ways. But as Paul would also write to the church at Ephesus and also to the church at Colossae, that we're to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in righteousness. All right? So there's a daily pressing, there's a daily effort, there's a daily reminding of ourselves of what we need to be doing in order to serve the Lord as we should. Now, I'm not saying that's a hard thing to do, but sometimes we get lazy in our faith, and sometimes we let some things slip, and so it's just a good thing for us to have some good daily habits of exposing ourselves to the Word of God and praying that will help us to stay in that straight and narrow. Okay? There's a broad way that leads to destruction, right? But there's a narrow way that leads to life and happiness. All right? And so as we think about what Paul is teaching here, and so he says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, are you born of the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of God within you? All right? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what he's saying by that is someone that might be observing your life, they ought to be able to see that you're a child of God. You don't have to be saying those things all the time. Your footsteps, your choices, your decisions, your habits, all those kinds of things show whose child you are. Okay? So it's good for us then, if we're living the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, vainglory, we don't want to do things for ourselves or to get any praise for ourselves, but we do want to encourage and provoke in a good way others around about us to walk in the Spirit. And I tell you, every day seems like there's something that happens that reminds me that our Christian liberties are under assault. I mean, it seems like our government is just getting increasingly hostile toward religious things, or Christian things at least. All right? And I don't mean to drag that kind of stuff in here, but I do want you to have the right perspective that we, as God's people, more than ever in my lifetime, we need to be letting our light shine. Absolutely. We need to be salt. Yes, sir. All right? Salt has a preserving influence. Oh, it seasons things. But the main thing about salt, it can have a preserving influence. And if we're to be salt, and if we're to adhere and to practice those things which are godly and that show forth Christ in our lives, it will have a preserving influence on those in our world. Okay? We may feel like our little sphere of influence is small, and it might be. But whatever we have, let's use it and let's redeem the time and let's be salt and light. Let's be whatever the Lord gives us the opportunity to be. Right? I mean, that's that second verse that we read out of chapter 6. As we therefore have opportunity, right, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the house, those who are of the household of faith. All right? So when he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Have you been there? Have you been there? Trying to do what you could. Maybe it was helping out family. Maybe it was helping out friends. Maybe it was trying to have some influence on something that needed to be different. Whatever the case might be, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. If we're doing well, we're doing God's will. So that's not anything to get weary about, okay? It is something that we have to keep continuing to press into. It is something that we have to continue to remember. But let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right? So here's the idea. He's telling us there's good things for us to do. All right? Just like when Paul was writing to Timothy and he says, all scripture. And this is where we're going with this, by the way, is God's word supplying us the instruction we need. All right? All scripture, Paul says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's good for you. It's good for others. It's good for all of us. It's good for our culture. It's good for our nation. It's good for this world. Oh, preacher, how do you know that? Well, what if everybody did it? You know, I've, a couple of times I've talked about how that, you know, you want to test whether something's right and good. Well, put this test to it. What if everybody did it? What if everybody followed the Word of God? Whew, this would be a wonderful place to live, wouldn't it? Okay? Brother Luke, you might not have nearly as much to do on your job. If everybody was doing the will and the word of God. Right? Okay. What if everybody did it? So what I'm saying here is if all scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. Notice how practical that is. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that includes the sisters too, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all. Did I emphasize that enough? All good works. anything good that you want to do, if you feel like it's put upon your heart to do it, bless your hearts, God's word will help you to do it. All right? Even if it means going to somebody and offering some rebuke or reproof. See, the beginning of this chapter, chapter 6, by the way, the original scriptures didn't have chapter divisions. All right? So men have put this in here, but it's all part of the same teaching. So chapter 6 begins, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that also applies to the women. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Spiritual? What kind of person is that? The kind of person that knows what this word says. A person that's trying to live according to the way this word says. A person that wants to please God. A person that wants to be salt in the right way. Okay, in this world. Ye that are spiritual, restore such an one. And here's how to do it. You see, not only does the Lord tell us what to do, He tells us how to go about it. I mean, you could charge in there and you can tell somebody they're doing wrong or they're not doing the right thing, and you can just make all kinds of demands, and it can be a disaster. Everything you said might be right, but it just wouldn't be received in the right way. Well, the Bible tells us, look, when you do that, you got to be spiritual. All right? Ye that are spiritual, restore someone, one another in the spirit of meekness. Okay? There's a right way to go about it, all right, that we might win others. You know, who was that wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People? His name escapes me, but at the moment, he's very famous. All right? That's a good book. By the way, it's based on Christian principles. All right? All right? So, he says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All right? So, you know, we've got our own faults. You ever heard that expression, you know, you need to sweep around your own doorstep before you try to deal with somebody else's? All right? That's what he's saying. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, you could be guilty of something too. All right? So my point is, when he says, be not weary in well-doing, the word of God is our thorough furnisher unto all good works. And that is how, when we take the word of God, when we understand its teachings, we understand how to apply it and how it helps us deal with one another and deal with ourselves first, okay, when we understand that, what a blessing that is, right? So, to help us against the discouragement of getting weary in well-doing, the Word of God is a thorough furnisher, okay? And I know I'm lifting this out of this particular passage, but I want to get to the point where when Paul said that it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works, I want to spend a little time this morning talking about what that looks like. You know, we can read Christian principles. I can read verses of scripture from the pulpit, but maybe your mind, maybe you're keyed in on what else I'm saying, and you don't get back to the time where you really think that out and say, well, now how could I take this verse and obey it? How could I take this verse and apply it? How can I take this verse and have it bring forth fruit that will be a blessing to others and glory to our Father? I think we need to be interested in the Word of God to that extent, that we would know what it says, that we would know how to apply it, that we would know how to put it into practice, how that in itself could be letting our light shine and having influence, having the good influence of the salt, to have a preserving, you know, when we say a preserving influence, what we're saying is that we have this, just like shaking salt on something, and it when it makes contact, it begins to season it, right? Well, guess what? The Word of God can be salt for us. We're supposed to be salt, but we're to be seasoned with this Word All right, so that it can have its impact. If we're not exposing ourselves, coming into contact with the word, it doesn't have its impact, right? And if we're not sharing that word with others, then we're not having an impact upon others. All right, so there's a lot of things that we experience in life. And what I want to do today, for the balance of the time, is to talk about some of those conditions and experiences we find ourselves in and go to the Word of God. You know, I may give you one or two references under that topic, but there could be 50 others. All right? And it might become a dry study if we tried to do 50 references to each point that we want to make. But the point is, God's Word does address how it can help us in all good works, so that we'd not be weary in our well-doing. Sometimes somebody might try to do something good and it just doesn't turn out right. And they'd get discouraged and they'd say, well, I'm not going to do that again. Well, that's the wrong attitude. There was just something about it maybe that wasn't quite right. But that's what the devil would just love for you to do, is quit doing it. Quit doing anything. That's from the devil. We're supposed to do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. Okay? All right? So not only are we supposed to be doing good, we as Christians, as the household of faith, we need to be mature enough in the word to be able to receive that. Whether it's to receive, you know, it's easy to receive praise, isn't it? It's easy to receive encouragement, but if somebody's giving us some counsel and some, rebuke or something like that, that's not as easy to receive, is it? But we need to be mature enough to consider what they're saying and see if it's right or not. Maybe there is some things that we need to adjust in our life. I'm just saying, the Word of God is a thorough furniture unto all good works, the easy things, the hard things. All right, so sometimes in our life we may feel alone. You know, you can be around a lot of people and still feel alone, right? Well, can the Word of God help us in that regard? Well, I believe it can. John 14:18. Some of the last teachings that Jesus gave his apostles before he would go to the cross. John 14. As a matter of fact, John 14, 15, 16, and then John 17 is his prayer to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. But in John 14, I'll take time to turn to some of these. In verse 18. Now, he began, you remember, John 14, you're probably familiar. This is where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, he's beginning to tell them he's going away, and sorrow would fill their hearts. But he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. Now, I know that he spoke that to the apostles, because he was leaving them and he was leaving a work for them to do. And he was not going to leave them alone. He was going to give them the Holy Spirit. But listen, that lesson that he gave to the apostles is a good lesson even for us today, for all believers, to understand that he will not leave us alone. That he in spirit will come to us. And so when we turn to him, if we are finding ourselves experiencing one of these troubles, you know, life is just, sometimes it's puzzling, sometimes it's troubling, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's even good, isn't it? And sometimes it's even fun. All right, but it's a mixture, isn't it? And so we need the Lord at all times. Sometimes we need him for encouragement. Sometimes we need him for strength. Sometimes we need him when we're fearful. Whatever the case might be, there's times when we really and truly feel the need of the Lord. Okay? Now, Those other times when we don't feel the need, we also need him then too. All right? We need to know what we need to be doing. All right, so when we feel alone, all right, he's made that promise. This is a promise from Jesus. Now, we might make a promise to somebody with all good intentions, and we may have to break that promise. I mean, the least little circumstance can come up and just change all our plans. It is not that way with the Lord. The Lord says, if the Lord says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. Nothing can keep him from doing what he purposes to do. All right? And he's made this promise. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that word comfortless carries the idea of the feeling of an orphan that doesn't have anybody to take care of them, that doesn't have anybody to provide for them, who doesn't have anybody to put their arms around them, who doesn't have anybody to come to their needs and see to their needs at all times. He says, listen, when you feel like that, he says, remember, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So if we feel like that we're in that condition, we need to turn our heart to the Lord. We need to remind him. Now, he hasn't forgotten it, but it's good for us to be reminded that the Lord said he would not leave us comfortless. And he even said, I will come to you. Isn't that encouraging? That we've got help in the Lord. Now, it's good to have some help with skin and bones on it, isn't it? Remember the little girl that was that came to her daddy one time, and her daddy had the newspaper up like this, and he couldn't see her face, and she said, Daddy, I need some help. You probably heard me tell you this. I need some help, Daddy. And Daddy said, go pray to Jesus. He'll help you. Well, she came back a little bit later, and he's still reading the paper. She said, Daddy, I need some help. Help me. He said, I told you, go pray to Jesus. So she went, and she came back later, and she took her hands and just slapped the newspaper right out of his hand and said, Daddy, I need some help with some skin and bones on it. It's good to have that kind of help, isn't it? It's good to be an encourager in doing good one to another, especially the household of faith. But wherever you see a need, it's good for us to do that. But there's times when you just feel nobody understands. But the Lord does. The Lord does. And he knows. He sees. And he can help. And so we have the promise in his word. He'll not leave us comfortless. He said, I will come to you. Psalm 27. Just very briefly before we get off this topic. Psalm 27. That whole psalm is good. We could spend the rest of the time on that psalm. But in verse 10, the word of God reminds us. And in Psalms 27, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me. See, we were talking about sometime when you may feel alone. Okay? When my father and my mother forsake me. Some of you are blessed to still have your father and mother. Some of us aren't. My mom and daddy have been gone a long time. I must be getting old. All right? But the word of God says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. In other words, the Lord's going to be there for you when you need him. Not only in the practical sense from day-to-day matters, but when you come to the end, because that word, that phrase, take me up, it has the idea of gathering. You know, sometimes when a mother will gather her child or children with their arms. You know, we have the illustration, the word of God, about a hen that gathers her chickens under her when danger is approaching. Okay? Well, the Lord does that for us. He's a refuge for us. He's a sanctuary for us. When we go to him, when we feel our need of him, okay? But in the end, when we come to the end of our way, he will gather us unto himself in heaven. I tell you, that ought to give us some security as we go through life. And no matter what we have to face and endure in this life, bless your hearts, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we will be with him in glory. He will take us home to be with him in heaven. All right? So we could keep on with other references for that. But when we feel alone, when we feel our need of the Lord, he's there for us. How about when we're afraid? You know, there's times, maybe you've gotten some bad news. Maybe you're uncertain about the future. Maybe whatever problem is existing, you know, there's all kinds of problems that come against us to cause fear to be in our hearts. Does the Word of God help us there? Oh, yes. There's a bunch of times, I'll use that expression, where the Word tells us, fear not. And usually when the scripture speaks about, when you encounter those words of the Lord telling his people to fear not, the reason he's telling them to fear not is because he's either already made a promise or he has showed up with his presence. Fear. Where does fear come from? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says he had not given us the spirit of fear, right? He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. It doesn't come from the Lord. Where does it come from? Well, it either comes from our lack of trust in the Lord or Satan. I heard that answer. Satan might be trying to confuse us, might be trying to scare us. There's plenty of ways that Satan tries to draw us away from God. All right, but Paul told Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but what has he given us? See, if we're, you know, fear is debilitating. Fear will just weaken you. It'll make you feel weak as water. Fear will just keep you from doing a lot of things that the Lord would have you to do. And so we don't need to be fearful. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what has he given us? Power. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power. Whose power? His almighty power for our benefit, for our protection. If we're feeling fearful, his almighty power is there for us. You know, Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5, that our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's a true statement right now. He does that. But I love to balance that thought against 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9, where he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. How does that help? Bless your hearts, when we realize that God is watching over his people, that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. That tells us he's given us a spirit of power. That tells us that his power will be used for our benefit. That ought to help us and encourage us at our times when we're fearful. He's given us a spirit of power and of love. Oh my goodness. His love, because he loves us, we love him. Isn't that what 1 John 4:19 says? We love him because he first loved us. So when we remember what we have in the Lord, it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power and of love. And then that helps us. When you remember that, that'll help us to have a sound mind. We can be settled. You know, when you're fearful, You can do things that are irrational. You can do things that are not going to be good. But if we have a sound mind, if we're thinking like we should, then bless your hearts, we'll make better decisions and we'll do things that will be honoring to God. And by the way, as a Christian, shouldn't we show forth to the world that we're not afraid? That we have the Lord on our side?
Yes.
That we have the love of God with us? And that we want to express that love to others? and that we're clear thinking. You know, I tell you, that's a great blessing that we have from the Lord. So if we're fearful, just remember, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You know, what about when you're facing problems? Everybody's got problems. They may be little, they may be big, but everybody's got problems. Everybody's got challenges. All right? What do we need in those times? Well, we don't need to get fretful and fearful and feel like that we're all alone in this. You know, we don't have any help. That's not the attitude we should have. That's not clear thinking. That's not a sound mind, is it? Okay? Proverbs 3. I don't know how many of these we'll get through today, but we got some time yet. Proverbs chapter 3. All the Proverbs is good. I hope you have the habit of reading at least one proverb a day. You know, one chapter out of Proverbs a day. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So just read one chapter of Proverbs every day, and then every month, you know, sometimes you might have to read two chapters one day. And there's one month you might have to read several. But if you'll just do that, you know, you'll be blessed by reading this word and trying to treasure it up. You might not have a whole lot of understanding about some of it at first, but the more you read it and the more you apply yourselves to know it, the more the Lord will bless you to put it together. All right? So I hope you found Proverbs 3 by now. All right? Verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What were we talking about? We got problems. We need help. All right? Instead of feeling like the Lone Ranger, instead of feeling like we don't have any answers, listen to what he says in the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That I've had to remind myself of that so many times. To lean not to my own understanding. You know, we all want to try to figure it out ourselves. We want to do it ourselves. But it's a whole lot better when we ask the Lord for his help and for him to help us do things. All right? So, and lean not into thine own understanding. Listen, in all thy ways. Now, that's a clue. In all thy ways. That means that's not a one and done. That means we need to develop the habit that in all our way, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I thank you for your blessings today. I need your help today. I've got some decisions I've got to make today. Lord, can you help me? The Lord loves that kind of praying. It may not sound like very formal praying, but it doesn't have to be. When we're engaging the Lord and remembering and acknowledging that he's the one that blesses, he's the one that has all the answers, I don't. Lord, I need your help. When we acknowledge him in all our ways and when we develop a habit of doing that every day, you could be amazed at what happens. He really does help us. All right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and what's going to happen? And he shall direct thy path. I like that, don't you? I want to know that the Lord is helping me and going before me. And that's a part of my praying whenever somebody's facing a surgery or facing big changes in their life or a lot of things that's just very heavy on people's hearts. I try to ask the Lord, go before them and prepare their way. He's able to do that. Remember when back in the Old Testament when Abraham sent out his servant to find a wife for Isaac? And that servant got down when he got there and found how the Lord had prospered his way. By the way, he prayed and he had to witness later that before he had done speaking, the Lord was already answering his prayer.
All right? But what this servant eventually said was, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. That was his charge. He was to go to the house of his master's brethren to find a wife for Isaac. And so he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, listen, if you're in the way, if you can say, I being in the way, in other words, I'm acknowledging the Lord each day, I'm seeking his counsel, I'm seeking his help, I'm trying to stay in that way which is pleasing to the Lord. I being in the way, the Lord will lead you to whatever it is that you need. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems. I'm not saying there won't be frustrations along the way. What I'm saying is the Lord will be faithful to his promise. I being in the way, that servant said, the Lord led me. And this is what this says. Acknowledge, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And what a blessing it is in life, by the way, when you see how the Lord has provided something for you, and you just stop and think about that, and you start considering it, and you realize the Lord's been working on that for a while. He didn't just start that moment that you prayed. He'd already been working on it. Now, don't get from that you don't have to pray. He's going to do it anyway. No, pray. Ask the Lord for his help, and he'll direct your path. All right? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And there's so much more good instruction there. But the point there was, if we feel like that we've got problems and we need help and we need answers and we don't know where to turn, you should know where to turn. Turn to the Lord. Turn to his word. Turn to the instruction the Lord has given to his people all down through time. It's the same instruction. It's been good all along. It's still good today. I don't care how many times we hear somebody say that Bible is outdated. It's no longer applicable. Well, if it's no longer applicable, then you're not serving the Lord. Period. If it's no longer valid, then you're walking to the sound of a different drum. You're not trying to follow the Lord. He gave his word. It was right to start with and always will be right. Okay? To find joy and happiness in this life. All right? You ever been tired? I mean, tired. You know, like the old fella says, I'm tired, boss. It might be physical. It might be mental. It might be spiritual. But I tell you, this old world can get you down. Life sometimes is hard. Let's just say that. I mean, we know it. Okay? And some of God's people have been through so much more trial than I have. God's been so good to me. I just have to say that every day. Lord, you've been so good to me. I'm not saying I ain't had any trouble. I'm just saying I ain't had some trouble that some people have had. He's so good. And he's still so good. And he still provides. But when you're tired, when you're struggling, don't just wallow in it. Don't just stay there. Turn to the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due time you shall reap if you faint not. All right? Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All right? That's not a one and done. It might be when you first feel the work, the working of his spirit in your heart, and you realize that you've been going the wrong way, and you turn and you come to the Lord. That's wonderful. But I'm telling you, that's not over. You'll find other times when you need to come to the Lord. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, what is his promise? I will give you rest. I'll give it to you, he says. All right? Think about that for just a minute. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whatever the case might be, he knows what you need, and he can supply it. And so we need to turn to the Lord. That is such a universal concept. When John the Baptist came preaching, what was his message? Repent. Oh boy, that's a thought. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist's ministry was mainly to call people back to God. There'd been that long period of time there, over 400 years, that God hadn't sent a prophet with the vision from God. There'd been that time, and so during that time, the Pharisees rose to prominence. They took over and just kind of took charge without being given it by the Lord, right? You know, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 23, scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. It was still Moses' seat. God made Moses the intercessor between him and his people, okay? The Pharisees just took it. The Pharisees started teaching their own flavor of the law, okay? But what I'm after here is that the message of John the Baptist was to bring God's people back to God. And then Jesus came as the messenger of the covenant, all right, to call people to repentance. Repent, same message. And it's the same message today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You might say, well, preacher, I've been in the church a long time. That's okay. You still may need to repent. There's things that we may need to repent of every day. Whatever it is that we've left off, whatever it is that we've gone in the wrong direction, we need to turn back. Repentance is returning around. Repentance is changing. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's making the change from what it was to what the right way to go, right? So Jesus said, if we're tired, whether it's initially coming to the Lord or whether it's something that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now there's two parts to this. There's a given rest when we go to the Lord. But he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm trying to talk about that this morning. Learn this word. Understand what this says and how it can apply to our lives and to our specific needs that we have each day. If we feel like we have a particular need, go find a scripture that addresses that need, the remedy for it, okay? So he said, come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, we need to be yoked up with Christ. You know, we may have been plowing our own field, but we need to follow, we need to go in the direction the Lord would have us to go. We need to labor in the way the Lord would have us to labor. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what we get from the scriptures. Isn't that what Jesus told the Jews? Search the scriptures. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If we want to learn of him, we need to be reading his testimony, his word. All right? So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. All right? So the word of God, when we seek the word, when we seek the Lord in his word, it can cause us to have rest in our souls. And I'm going to tell you something. A well-rested soul can deal with a whole lot of trouble here in this life. A soul that's resting on Jesus and his word. Bless your hearts, you can endure a whole lot of physical things in this world. All right, so when we have problems, there's plenty of scriptures that we can go to help us in that regard. Well, preacher, I've just got some things that's just impossible. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know the Lord can do the impossible? Do you believe that the Lord can do the impossible? Yes, He can. Have you ever read of any of it in here? How about when the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea? Wow, that was an impossible. I mean, the biggest army on the face of the earth was pursuing them. And all, the only thing they had was the mountains on one side and the sea. There was nowhere to go. They were shut up. God did the impossible. God parted the Red Sea. Do you think there was anybody alive in that day that was expecting that to happen? I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody alive on that day that was expecting that to happen. I expect what they thought was that God would smite the Egyptians. Well, He's going to, but not in the way, you know, He wasn't going to send fire down like He did sometimes. But God parted the Red Sea. That impossible task for us, God just did it. He caused the waters to divide and to stand up in a heap, to congeal. You know, anybody like Jell-O? You know, those waters look like Jell-O on each side. Maybe they could see fish swimming around it. I don't know. But anyway, they were able to go across on dry land. And the same waters that were divided for their deliverance then crashed down upon the Egyptians who were trying to come across on the same dry land. God destroyed the enemy by undoing what He had done for His people. God can do the impossible. How about when He told Abraham that he was going to have a child? And Sarah was 90 years old. 90 years old. You know, and it said Sarah laughed. Well, we might have too. If the Lord had said this 90-year-old woman's going to have a child. All right? Now, I'm not saying that we should have laughed at it. I'm just saying, you know, don't be too hard on Sarah. She knew her own body. She was 90 years old, and God said she's going to have a child. What would we say about that? Impossible. It's impossible. God did it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll ask you that question today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If it's a good thing, is anything too hard? No. I appreciate your answer on that. No, it is not. Even today, whatever needs we face, whatever problems we face, even if though it may seem like an impossibility to us, God is able to do it. If it's His will to do it, He can do it quite easily. And I encourage you to read through. There's so many. How about when the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace? How many, you know, if the folks were figuring up the odds on that, how many of them would have been voting that they'd come out of there? Probably not any. All right? Because Nebuchadnezzar had told them, commanded them to heat it 7 times hotter than it was wont to be. So normally when they would put people in there, it was one way, but he said make it 7 times hotter. I mean, it was so hot that when they opened it up to throw them in, that the people that were throwing them in were consumed by the flame. It was impossible for those three to come out of there alive. It was. It was impossible, according to men, but not according to God. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them when they came out of there. And not only that, but the most comforting thing about all of this is that the Lord was in the fire with them. Isn't that wonderful? You know, even Nebuchadnezzar, who, by the way, had said, "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Well, God showed him. Because old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, "Wait a minute. Did we not cast in 3? And I see 4. And the fourth one is like unto the Son of God." Who told Nebuchadnezzar that? God did. God showed him. All right? It was impossible for men,
but God did it.
Now listen, if there's anything we're facing today and we think it's impossible, well, it may be for us, but it's not for God. In Luke chapter 18, when he's talking about Jesus astounded the apostles by saying that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. All right? Now, he had to explain that a little bit. He explained that by saying those that trust in their riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven, it's impossible. And he went on to say that. He said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so if you're facing something that you just feel like this is just an impossibility, remember, God's word says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I hope I've impressed upon your mind. I hope I've touched your heart this morning by just getting some random thing. There's a lot of things. You know, what about when you don't feel like that anybody loves you? Sometimes people get depressed. Sometimes they feel that way. All right? There's plenty of verses of Scripture. John 3:16 tells us the kind of love that God had for us because he sent his only begotten Son to save us from our sins. You see, our comfort is in the Lord. Not in our abilities or our inabilities or our weakness, but our comfort is in the Lord. So many more things, but I hope I've made the point this morning. This word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And so when we face life, when we're having challenges, when we're having struggles, when we're feeling down, whatever the case might be, whatever the need might be, this word can address our problem. This word can be a help to us. And so the more familiar we are to it, then the more we can go to some of those passages. But there's a thing called a concordance. And if you having problems, you know, you can look up key words that would point you to scriptures. There's all kinds of ways that we can find help. Most, if you've got a Bible app, then you can search for scriptures and do things like that. There's plenty of ways that we can avail ourselves to this word of God that is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And so, because of that, we shouldn't be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. God has not left us alone. He has blessed us in many, many ways. He's given us the church so that we can be a help and an encouragement to one another. He's given us his word so that we can read his precious promises and be reminded of it. He's given us his spirit so that wherever we might be, we may find ourselves in a situation where we're so injured we can't pick up a Bible and read it, or we can't open our eyes to see it or whatever. But if you've got your wits about you and you've got the Holy Spirit within you, it can cause you to remember the promises of God, and you can pray unto God. God has given us so many things to help us in this life. May God help us to lay hold upon those things and make good use of those things, because it will be to his glory, but it'll also be to the blessing and encouragement of ourselves and those around us. God is good. May God bless you, is our prayer.